was a series I called SOS, which some of you think means Song of Solomon. It doesn't. It means help! Help! Chad told me yesterday, he said, Pastor, I've read Song of Solomon through two times. Still don't have any clue what it's about. They said you were going to go read it again. Did you get the chance to do it one more time? You figured two chances, you still don't know what it's talking about. Amen? I've had several times. Clyde Slater this morning, as we were praying earlier out the pickup truck, he said, I read Song of Solomon. And here's what he said. God bless you, Pastor. Anyway, let's look at the book. I tell you what, I've been learning. I've been studying. I've been learning. I've been growing. And I might be the only one. But you know what? It's been good for my marriage. It's been good for me and Joy. It's helping me. It's helping me be a better husband, love her more. It's helping me appreciate what I've got in my family. So I'm going to look at it, all right? Today, let's go with the message. Last week was the beginning of love. Love has a beginning. They met. Remember how they met last week? Some of you, if you weren't here, get the DVD because I can't re-preach it, all right? Bottom line, King Solomon was, I believe, out in the countryside, just wanted to have a little R&R. It was written when he was earlier in his reign, before he had fallen off the wagon and really become an absolute idiot, quite frankly. And he says the same thing in the book of Ecclesiastes about himself. But the bottom line is, this was early on. He had met this, he's out there in the countryside, just dressed up like a shepherd, just getting some R&R, taking it easy. I think he met this country girl working on a farm, on land that he owned, the kingdom owned. They were sharecropping. And he saw this pretty girl. Man, did she have a tan. Now, he wasn't used to that. All the ladies of the court, man, they were fair complected. Because if you had a tan, that meant you worked outside. But you were a commoner. But anyway, he was attracted to her. She was attracted to him. And they struck it up. I believe that's how it happened. And they planned to get married. He wanted to marry her. He comes back and gets her. She didn't know he was a king. I firmly believe that. But then found out he's a king. He comes back, gets her, takes her to the palace, and they're preparing for the wedding. Okay? Remember, are y'all up to speed with me now? So, why are we doing this series right now? Well, who knows, okay? But anyway, no, it's around Valentine's Day. It's a good time of the year for us to think about each other, that we love each other, that we care for one another. And so I sort of do that. Sometimes I preach along with the calendar because it's already on our mind a little bit anyway. So that's why we're doing this. Let's look at it now. Today's message is entitled, The Language of Love. Now, I'm getting a late start. It's going to take a little while, okay? So hang in there with me. Please be nice. You don't want to do this, so be nice to me every day, all right? The Language of Love. Now, Roger, we're going to put into warp speed. We're going to move this morning. Lots of stuff. Love must be communicated. Can you say that with me? Love must be communicated. The language of love. Men tend to have a little more trouble with this. Flat out, period. Women are better at talking about things than we are, fellas. It's the truth. Go ahead and deal with it, okay? Men have a little more trouble with this. Does that mean, well, men have more trouble, so I can't do it? Learn it! Learn how to do it! And that's why we're here today. That's why this book's in the Bible, to help us. But it means digging. It means work. Love takes time and can't wait. Love can wait. Pop it up. But lust can't wait. Lust wants everything right now. And that's why some of your relationships are pitiful. Because love takes time. Love has to be communicated. Are you hearing me today? Say, y'all think I'm crazy? Hear me? It's got to be communicated to keep moving around. This book has a lot of talking in it. Have you seen it, Chad? You just don't know who's talking to. I mean, talking here? Is it him? Is it her? Who are they? What's happening? But there's a lot of talking in this book, especially between Solomon and his new bride. Okay? Keep looking. Talking needs to happen before touching. Can you say that with me as a group? Talking needs to happen before touching. See, guys, we get it all wrong sometimes. We all over the woman. And we wonder, what's up? Why is she in front of me? Hey, yeah. Because talking needs to happen before what? Touching. That's what this is all about today. This message today is the language of love. Love talks. It doesn't always touch. Are you hearing me? Do you think I've got this down pat? No, I don't. I'm a man just like you are. Okay? But I need to learn. I need to do better. Thank God. God has helped me over my 22 plus years now of marriage. It doesn't happen overnight. Amen, Joy? Did you have to stand in the front again? You know I love you. Well, Look, there's people up there waving, wanting you to come up there. Anyway, we love you, baby. Let's keep moving. Here we go. Oh, my, the language of love. Well, let's get back to the Bible now. Solomon 1, verse number 9. We covered verses 1 through 8 last week. And that does not mean we're going to cover every single verse in this book. It's 8 chapters long. I encourage you to read it. But we're going to try to give a good foundation for you so you can really get some help here. Song of Solomon 1, 9. I have compared thee. So who's talking? You got Solomon speaking, you got her speaking. Some translations really do help because they tell you who is talking. I'm the old King James. I use that old book, and I like that. That's the way it is. It means I work a little harder sometimes trying to figure things out, but I like it that way. I'm not trying to change you, so leave me alone, okay? So anyway, but in the newer translations, it might say he speaks or she speaks, but it's Solomon speaking. Here's what he says. We're talking about language. Can you say that with me? Language. He says, I've compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Moving rods. He said, you remind me of Pharaoh's horses. Look at it. Look, believe it or not, it really was a great compliment because the Arabian mare was chosen for her great beauty. He says, you remind me of one of Pharaoh's great horses. Pop it up, Raj. I still wouldn't use that laugh. I wouldn't use that laugh. Hold on. When I look at you, I see Mr. A. Don't do that. And for you that are younger, Mr. A was a talking horse. He favored that guy, didn't he? Anyway, so that's what he says. He gives her a compliment. It's a great compliment, so he's talking to her. Verses 10 and 11, he said, your cheeks are comely or beautiful with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. He's communicating to her. You know what he says? He says, that looks beautiful on you. That jewelry looks beautiful on you. Okay? And he says, by the way, we're going to get you some more. Pop up the screen. By the way, help me here. Jewelry. Pop it up, Rod. Can I get an amen from the ladies tonight? All right. Thank you. See, fellas? Don't you do your head like that if you don't. Come on. It's a good thing, brother. It's a good thing. Come on. Come on. Here, help your dad with that. We got like oxygen. Come on. Here we go. Come on. Now, this is the scene that we're talking about this whole time in our message today, and actually last week, is before the wedding. It's sort of like our rehearsal that we have. Usually, if a wedding's on Saturday, we have the rehearsal on a Friday. Hey, one last week. And then after the rehearsal, you have a what? A rehearsal? Dinner. You know, as Americans, we think we created everything sometimes. That's a little bit of a problem with us. We can be a little arrogant sometimes. I'm proud of an American. I am. And we're undoubtedly the best nation on the planet. Amen? No question about it. We're proud, but guess what? We didn't create everything. Okay? Marriage, the wedding, goes way back in time. Actually, it comes from the Bible. It's beautiful. And so this is what's happening. This wedding feast is taking place before the consummation of the two together. Here we go. Song of Solomon, 1:12-14. Now look how she talks to him. We've seen how he's talking to her. Today's message, the language of love. And if this is boring you stiff, I'm sorry. That's what it is. Here we go. Song of Solomon, verse 12. While the king, she's talking. She says, while the king sits at his table, my spikenard sends forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breast. I made it through it. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. What is this talking about? Flip it. Here's what she's saying. She's saying to Solomon, he has given her some what? Perfume. Huh. Go figure, huh? He'd given her some perfume, and she was putting that on her chest in this area. And she says, you know what she's saying? She says, you're going to be on my heart all night long. This is the rehearsal time, the night before the wedding. She says, I'm going to think of you all night long. He moved. The bundle of her perfume pouch will remind me of you all night. So this is how she's talking to him. Uh-oh, we got another by the way. Pop it up. Perfume's a good thing. Amen? So we've already got, fellas, help me here. We got number one, what? Jewelry. Number two, we got perfume. See? God put this book in the Bible for a reason. He did. Well, I wasn't raised that way. You know, I told her I loved her when we got married. Forever changed my mind off that. There ain't no lie. And then you come to people like me and try to fix it. I can't fix that mess. Come on. This is good stuff. Now, Roger just happened to put up this perfume, Joy. And I asked him, I said, Roger, is this a new perfume that's out? He said, oh, no. It's the most expensive perfume he could find. I said, what are you trying to do to me? You're trying to kill me. That stuff don't smell good at all. Class is from Paris, all right? No, I'm sorry. Here we go. Here we go. Can I get another amen from the ladies?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Come on, we're going to preach here. She speaks of Solomon also as her Engedi. Okay, did we read that already? A prophet. Well, she said that you are my Engedi. Well, what does that mean? Sounds Italian or something. You know? You're my Engedi. But what it was, I've been there several times. It was a fountain down by the Dead Sea. Now, that's all a desert area. But Engedi was a town also that's called the City of Palms. You can check it out in those two references. But flip the screen there. It was situated about 30 miles southeast of Jerusalem. It was on the edge of the wilderness and on the west shore of the Dead Sea in a very desert area. It's full of rocks and caves. But guess what? Right there in the middle of the desert is this fountain that's gushing forth water. You're riding along and it's just desert, but all of a sudden there's palm trees and things that doesn't make any sense at all. The source of the fountain from which it derives its name is on the mountainside. It's about 600 feet above the Dead Sea. And she said, you're my Engedi. That's a really good compliment, isn't it? What was she saying? It was an oasis in the desert. So what was she telling him? The language of love. She was saying to him, you refresh me. Okay? I am more than satisfied with you. Doesn't language matter, so? Yeah. You know? He's talking to her a little bit. You remind me of Paris Holmes? Compliments her, some jewelry, some perfume. She comes back and says, you refresh me. Do you see how that's important? Say. I thought it was about just hopping in the sack. Huh? I'm sorry, it's not. There's more to love than that, and love has to be built. Does that make sense? I know it makes sense. It makes sense in my life. Something I continue to have to work on. She would say, you're excited. You're an exciting and welcome sight to me. Can you imagine such a thing being in a desert and seeing that water? She said, that's how I feel when I see you. You excite me. You refresh me. Let's keep going on with the conversation. Well, he responds. Boy, this is going somewhere, ain't it? I'm watching a soap opera or something, but it's not. It's the Bible. It's the real deal. He says, you are fair, my love. You're fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Well, I give you points. That's better than the last one. Amen? You have dove's eyes. What was he saying? He was saying you have eyes like a dove. What was that meaning? What does that mean? The dove was a symbol of purity. When I look at your eyes, I see purity. Reminds me of Matthew 3 when Jesus was baptized. Look at it with me. And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went straightway up out of the water. And lo, the heavens opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God. Say it with me. Descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said to her, when I look at your eyes, I just see purity. I love looking at your eyes. What else was he saying? He also believed this. And she did. She only had eyes for Solomon. When I look in your eyes, I see that you only have eyes for me. Isn't that great? This is communication. You know what I'm saying? We can talk like that. How many of us look in our wives' eyes and say things like that? She's looking at me right now. Anyway, we ought to have dual cameras. Why am I on the hot seat? Anyway, but the fact is, how many of us look into our wives' eyes, husbands' eyes, and we respond like that, just about something like that? I love your eyes, or I love what I see in your eyes. Those are wonderful things. They should be said. It's a good thing. The bride responds. You know what? It's funny. We don't see a fight breaking out, do we? Say. Pretty happy, aren't they? Yeah, it's amazing what language can do. Saying the right things. Verse 16. He says, "Behold, you are fair, my..." I'm sorry. She says, "Behold, you are fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant, and our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar. Our rafters are fir." What in the world does all that mean? She responds. Here's what she's saying. She's saying this. You're handsome. And you're pleasant. Kind and well-mannered. Pocket garage. Looks and behavior both matter. Did you know that? Next one. Outside and inside are both vital to a relationship. Outside and inside are both vital to a relationship. It's normal and it's necessary. I know lots of folk that want to act real spiritual. And act like when they really on the inside only really matters. That's a bunch of bull. You ought to take care of yourself. You ought to look as good as you can look. Now, your body can look like somebody else, but that's not what you're supposed to do anyway. But you can take the best care of yourself. Amen? Outside matters. And by the way, sir and ma'am, you ought to think that of each other. You ought to think, you know, hey, no, I don't look like some people. You know? But guess what? I think she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. Flat out period. Flat out period. They ain't even close to that. They ain't even close. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think of you, baby. And you know how she makes me feel? She makes me feel that way, too. I've lost hair. I've lost all kinds of things. But anyway. lost hair. I've gained some stuff, too. But anyway. But you know what? She makes me feel that way. And that's so important. The outside does matter. And there's this old thing that was out there for many years in the church. I didn't know I'd go there. And I shouldn't probably, but I'm going. Women were sort of like, if you're a Christian woman, dress frumpy. Because you don't want to attract attention to your body. Trust me, you're not got a problem. Give me a break. I can't dress something nice, you know, if I got dressed frumpy. I'm serious. You've got churches across America and the real spirit. Yeah. That's crazy. Where did that come from? Dress nice, for crying out loud. Do the best you can. Can't you do that much anyway? Say. I think it's important. Whether you believe it or not, hallelujah, I'm glad that's the way my life is. Amen? I never had boy, she always looks good. And boy, that's a blessing to me. You know, sometimes it takes a little long, but that's another story. But I'm glad. She also says, listen to me, she talks about the cedar. She talks about the fir that's there at the palace or where she's going to be living. And you know what she says? She's saying, I feel at home here. You know what Solomon had done? Puff it up, Ross. Look, undoubtedly the cedar and the fir wood was something that she liked. It probably reminded her of her own home where she was from. Are you hearing me? Solomon had come back. He had fixed her something somehow, I believe, that had touches of where she came from. You know, home mattered. And she said, oh, I feel at home here. How would it feel leaving your family and where you were from, coming to a place? But you know what? She said, I like the wood. You know, I like it here. It looks good. You know, I feel at home here. Put it up. By the way, here's another one. Home's a good thing. Home's a good thing. Fellas, I'm like you, a lot of you. I could live beside a pine tree with a piece of plywood, top, give me a coal and a stove, and I'd be good to go. I'm that way. I live like that. It's not a problem. I grew up in the country. Big deal. So what? Not a big deal. But guess what? That's not the way our lives are. Yeah, don't put thumbs up till you get the second part. Here we go. That's not the way our lives are. How many have been to my house? Can I see your hands? You've been to my house? Good. And all of you are welcome anytime. 474 South McCall Road. So we live. We have big events here. I'd love to have you sometime. We live in a beautiful home. But just let your mind wander a little bit. What would that house look like without my wife's touch? This shack from Carolina, living. Down on the water, I'd be on the dock, have me in a tent. What house? Well, we don't need no house. We got the cooler. You see what I'm saying? But home matters to a woman. Fellas, you listen to me. Home matters. You know, my wife has said this before, and I don't want to get too personal, but I'm going to make this statement. The way you keep your home really matters. Wives, that's huge, huge, huge. But fellas, it's huge, too, that you do your part. Now, I'm talking about if you throw your underwear down. I tell you, my wife's complimented me in many things in my life, and that's one of them she said to me, well, I really appreciate you picking up your underwear. I'm serious. Man's home is his castle. Pick up your mess. Amen? Uh-oh. Come on, let's all pray. Here we go. Home matters to a lady. It might not mean quite as much to you, guy, but it matters to her. You ought to work to do that. You ought to try to get a home. I believe that, okay? Or find a place that is your own. If you rent, that's fine. But if it's possible, try to buy a home if you can. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to do. All right, let's keep moving. So what are we learning? The language of love also is vital to building a strong relationship. We're switching gears here for the next 15 minutes. So hang in there. We've got a really block. Here we go. Communication is key to emotional development with one another. Emotional development has to be there in a relationship. And it's here in this passage. Look what she says. She speaks. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And he responds. She says to him, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valleys. He says, as the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. What was she saying? She wasn't boasting. Look at me, I'm the lily of the valley. Look at me, I'm the rose of Sharon. She wasn't saying it like that. Why? She was actually saying, I'm just another girl from the country. Well, why did she use those words? Look. Because the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley were the most common and ordinary flowers that grew in the wild. She was simply saying to him, as she looks around and sees everybody else and all these fancy people, she says, I just feel like a lily of the valley. I'm the rose of Sharon. I'm just ordinary. Language matters. But see, she's starting to be able to talk to him, isn't she? Second, that's what happens when you start talking to each other. You just might be able to help one another, encourage one another, and you might find out there are weaknesses and deficiencies that the other person can help strengthen. And here, what does he say? Pop it up. He knew what she was saying, and he responded, you're a lily among thorns. Wow. What does that mean? That means, you talk about you, the lily out there, let me tell you, there's lilies everywhere, let me tell you. When I look at you, lady, one lily, and all these thorns, everything else looks like a thorn. Fella, that's how you need to make your wife feel. You hear me? So, that's it. You're a lily among thorns. That was beautiful, what he said to her. Our words matter. He moved. With that little statement, he made her feel what? Say it with me. And probably nobody else could have said that. Nobody else could have said what he said and made it really matter. Isn't that true, ladies? It's true. Guys, communication is important. Now, we are who we are. I agree with that. We're from where we're from. I understand that. We got a little quirks and things like that, but don't be satisfied with mediocrity. Don't be satisfied with who you are. Well, I'm this way. I'm 43. I'm this way. But you know what? I might have a little bit of time left on this planet. Why don't we try to make it the best we can? Amen? And if it means I have to change some and grow some, well, great. Let's grow together. Come on. I think that's the way we should be. By the way, here's another one. Encouraging words are a good thing. Jewelry, perfume, house. Words matter. Words are a good thing. Just in case you're making a little miss. What did she say? Verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. What is that about? What was she saying? She's saying, you're my apple tree. What in the world does that mean? She's saying, you provide shade for me. And the sun, from the sun, and sweet fruit for my hunger. What does that mean? You just dig a little deeper. She's basically saying, you're everything I need, man. You're cool. I said that to you, you're cool, dude. All right? It's great. You're everything I need right here, man. I can eat here, and I'm safe here. I feel good here. That's what she's saying to him. She's communicating. She's saying to him, I feel secure. Can you say that with me? I feel secure here. How I feel. And she communicated that with him. Isn't that important? that we hear that. Guys, it's important that we hear that. She's saying, I feel satisfied. You satisfy me. Keep moving. Would you read this with me? It's really important. Read it with me. A woman needs security, and a man needs to hear that he's doing a good job at providing it. A woman loves security, needs security. It reminds me of Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's how we're supposed to love our wives sacrificially, do anything we have to do to provide and care for them. But here's what it says to the wives. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she what? What's that old-fashioned word? Reverence. Her husband. The word means respect. A woman needs security. Number one thing a man needs, I'm convinced of it, I'll die believing this, respect. Respect. If my wife communicates that she respects me, at times I could really care less what anybody else in the world thinks. Because I know she loves me. Wives, I think you ought to work hard at making your husband think you hung the moon. Okay? Other people might not think that of him, so what? Other people don't have to, do they? But he needs to hear that from you. He needs to hear that, that you respect him. A nagging wife will kill a husband. Amen, husband, say. Absolutely. And that's no indictment against you, ladies. It's just a fact. All right? Listen, respect is good. Encouraging words, say it with me. All right. Good thing. Come on. The language of love. Let's keep moving. What else are we going to find here? Woo! Okay, wrong scripture, but that's okay. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. We're in chapter 2 now, I believe, verse number 4. Are we correct? 2:4? He brought me to his banqueting house, his banner over me was love. How many ever sang the little kid song? His banner over me, what? Is love. His banner over me is love. Boom. Where'd that come from? Guess we found it, huh? Look at it. His banner over me is love. What was she saying? She was saying, I feel like I belong. You make me feel that way. I belong to you, and you make me feel like I have purpose in my life and I belong. That's what she was saying here. How do I know that? Because we go back and look. Keep looking. In the Old Testament, a banner was a sign people went to battle under. They would hold the banner up. And what was the banner for? It identified them and their cause to everyone. We're going to battle this way. We mean this. This is our cause. And everybody would march under that banner and they'd fight. So what was she saying? She was saying that I feel like I belong to you. I'm under your banner. It makes me feel good. Isn't belonging a good feeling to say? Belonging to somebody. I know this message is hard on some folks today because of problems and pain and struggle in your life. But it's the Bible that's good for our heart today. Solomon showed his love openly for his bride in both words and actions. He communicated that to her. When she moved through the crowd, people knew who she belonged to. See, here's what they would do. There's Solomon's bride. See what I'm saying? She felt like that. That's a good thing. I think we need to feel like we belong. I think joy means, I'm not talking about a piece of possession. You follow me, say, y'all with me? But I think it's important that Joy knows she belongs. And that I know I belong. I think it's good when we face struggle in our life and from the world around us that you know what? We got each other. Amen? We got each other. It's so important. Keep moving. She was proud of him. He was proud of her. They were not ashamed to show it publicly. They were not ashamed to show their love one for another publicly. You shouldn't be ashamed. Honey, get on with me. We're in public. That's the second thing. That's why we are. Yeah, we live public. Get over that. Work on that. It's okay to publicly show, hey, man, if you're married, legal, amen? Praise the Lord. Love on each other. That's fine. Who cares? Who cares? Hey, quit living so often in our lives. We do it to please everybody else and their brother, for crying out loud. At the expense of our own family. And you know who the worst people in America that do this are? Pastors. We're the worst. We'll put our family down, amen. And you know what? And we lose our families because we don't stand up for our families. It is pathetic. And I don't want to do it. Amen. She means more to me than anybody on the planet, period.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. heart, you know, and her heart for me. Thank God. Sis, glory. Let's keep moving. Stay with me with flagons. Comfort me with apples, for I'm sick of love. What? His left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me. What is she saying? Well, it's not saying what it looks like it says. She's basically saying, I'm love sick. I'm sick of love. No, she's saying, I'm love sick. I'm love sick. This was the night before their wedding. Isn't it a good time to be love sick? Say. She said, I'm just love sick. Keep moving. She communicated, can you say that word? Her desire. Her desire to give herself to her husband. She let him know that she was so desirous of him and she was ready to give herself totally to her husband. She felt special. Now that's what we've been seeing so far. We've been talking about emotions and emotional strength. She felt special. Say it with me. She felt special. She felt
secure.
And then she felt like she belonged. Put it up, Raj. Here we go. She had her ducks in her mouth. Now, fellas, let me tell you, that's the way you want to get a lady, with her ducks in a row. Amen? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Special, secure, like she belonged. And you know what? Now she was filled with anticipation of giving herself completely to her husband. Keep moving. She was excited about their wedding night. She was excited about this time. She's excited about this wedding night. I can't believe I'm talking about stuff like this on platform. But anyway, she was. She was excited about it. All right? Now, I had to go back because I knew I'd be hurt right here. It reminds me of Aflac and Killer. A few years back, my wife, we lived out on the bay, and my wife said, we need to get us some ducks. And my daughter, oh, and even Mitch was in on it, for crying out loud. But anyway, sold me out. But we need to get ducks. I'm like, honey, we don't live in the country here. And we've got a little piece of land on the bay, but guess what? There are people here. There are people here, and ducks just don't know better, okay? And so, guess what we got? Got two ducks. Name one Aflac. You know why we named him Aflac? Because every time he quacked, he went, Aflac. No, no, every time. Aflac. 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 I mean, those two ducks messed all over the sidewalk, all over the dock. I mean, it was horrible. Everywhere you went, Aflac. Aflac. But they were cute. I mean, I could go out there and I could feed them little fish and eat them and stuff, but that didn't let him. That wasn't worth it. But anyway. So his name was Aflac. Now his name was Killer. He never said a word. His quacker was busted. Alright? It was broke. So you got Aflac Killer. So Mitchell named him Killer. Because he was that silent type. You know those people, don't you? They never say a word, but those are the ones you got to watch out for. Well, long story short, one day, joy gets up. And honey, I'm sorry this is in the midst. I know this hurts you. But one day she gets up, walks outside, and on the sidewalk, Aflac and Killer did. They had undoubtedly eaten some fertilizer or Amdro because they ate everything. It's their own fault. Anyway, so there they are. Now, what does that have to do with the message today? Here's what the message is, what I'm telling you. Let me tell you something. Unless you have your ducks in a row, you're going to end up like Aflac and Killer. You hear it? One risk, I took. I know if I talk about them, that we might get more ducks. Please. No more ducks. Let's keep flying. Now we're done.
Lust can wait, lust can't. Lust can wait, lust can't. Keep moving. I'm sorry. What did I say? Take that off the radio. Love can wait, say it with me. Lust can't. Love can wait, lust can't. Sorry. Two verses. I charge, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love till he please. And then verse 5, chapter 3. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose, by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love until he please. Love can wait, lust can't. We are not to stir up or awaken love before it's time. Okay? Love is between the lovemaking, according to the Bible, and I believe the Bible every bit of it. Flat, period. The Bible teaches that lovemaking is to be between a married man and a married woman that are married to each other. Okay? One woman, one man, for life. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. I know trouble happens. Things happen in our life. But that is God's design and that is God's plan. And we're not to awaken love before it's time. Let's keep moving. It's good to have the feeling that one is special before the feeling that one is sexual. Are you hearing me? Listen. Guys, you might look at a woman, I hate to say it plain up, straight up, you know, you just want to have sex with this woman. You think she's sexual, so you're sexually attracted to this woman. You need to work on that. That's not a way to be. Well, I'm just a man. You're just wrong. That's what you are. You need to get in the Word of God and get those passions and things of the Lord. Ask God to help you in your life, and He will help you. And stop looking, I'm going to say the word, at the crap on the internet and mess like that. Well, I'm praying to God to help. He ain't going to help you if you keep filling yourself like you're a slop. Are you hearing me say? Get out of the street. That's what this book came over. I know it's a little ugly, but there it is. Love can wait. Lust can't. Oh, but I love you, honey. Can't we do this? No, you don't. You know? And you're not making her feel special. You're not making her feel secure. You're not making her feel like you belong. And it disgusts me. The thing that little punk young men are putting pressure on young girls to do. It is pathetic. And quite frankly, I just feel like rapping every one of them in the mouth. Okay? It is pathetic. Girls are special. And I've got a young daughter. If there's one reason I'd be happy to go to jail for, it's for some punk touching my daughter. Flat hand right in the face. Anyway, that's just life. Okay? I hope I don't do that. Amen. Will you pray for me? Waiting is a good thing. Can you say that with me? Waiting is a good thing. It is a good thing. It's going to be a blessing. But it's not easy. And Roger, we're out of time. We've got to quit. But we're going to run through it real fast. We've got to get through it real fast. She has two dreams. We're not going to take a lot of time on them. In chapter 2, she has a daydream. We'll read the scripture. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He looks forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. She's having a daydream. She says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Keep moving. Look at verse 14. Move it. Look at the language in this verse, the language of love. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, the secret places of the stairs. Let me see your what? Say it with me. Countenance. Let me hear your voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Look at the emphasis on language in the love. Did you see the emphasis on voice? Where was the touching? Where was all this stuff? Okay? But she has this dream. And then they make this statement, verse 15, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Impure thoughts and actions can destroy a relationship. Are you hearing me today? Impure thoughts and actions can destroy a relationship. And they were saying this to each other. We're two vines with tender grapes. We have a whole life of marriage ahead of us. Why do we need to get in a hurry? Why do we need to do this now? We've got a whole life ahead of us. And these tender vines and these tender grapes, and she's worked the vineyard. And so they agreed together to catch the foxes. Anything that's going to destroy our love, we're going to catch that. We're not going to let that happen. Do you hear me say?
I believe they're talking about premarital sex. I believe that's what they're talking about. Now, we're going to work real hard at this. And couples, if you're not married, you need to work real hard at that. Are you hearing me? Sarah. That's what the Bible teaches. If you want the ultimate. Then she has a nightmare. She has a daydream and a nightmare. Chapter 3, by the night of my bed, I sought him whom my soul loved. I sought him, but I found him not. I'll rise now and go about the city and the streets and the broadways. I'll seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I couldn't find him. The watchman that go about the city found me, to whom I said, did you see whom my soul loves? It was a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loves. I held him. I would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. What was that nightmare about? She thought she had lost him. She thought he wasn't there anymore. Impurity can destroy a relationship, but so can this. Would you say this with me? Insecurity can destroy a relationship. Being hurt and disappointed makes it hard to trust. Do you hear me? This was me. That's how I grew up. It was hard for me to trust. This fear keeps us from expressing deep, secure love. I remember when I was married. I was already married. I didn't even know how to tell my wife, I love you. And how do I talk? I don't even know how to talk to the woman. And our marriage was going down the tubes. It was horrible. I didn't think we were going to make it. And it can lead to a jealous, controlling spirit. That's what happened to me. I became jealous. I became controlling. She would look one way. Who are you looking at? She would go this way. And I became controlling early on in our marriage. And so this person that loved me with all the love in her, I was pushing her away. Does that make any sense? I was insecure. And it's something I know I still struggle with to this day. That's why it's good for me on the platform to communicate to her like this. It's good for me. God's love, though, can cast out our fears. Can you say that? God's love can cast out our fears. He has done that in my life. He's been working in my life. And now I'm so proud I can stand up here today. We've been married 22 years. Well, you're a preacher. You're supposed to. You know how many pastors fall by the wayside? I'm saying we've had it rough sometimes. But I tell you what, from the murder of my mother through some unbelievable other family issues that we've had to face, God, His miraculous wisdom and love has been able to bring us together. Not cause us to pull apart. It's a beautiful thing. God's love can cast out fear. Every one of you have hope here today. Hear me say, you don't understand my problem. You have hope. Okay? 1 John 4:25. There's no fear in love. A perfect love casts out fear because fear had torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ loves you today, and we're done with the message. Last thing. This is important. When Jesus sees you, he sees a lily among the thorns.
Amen.
Did you hear me today? When he sees you, he sees a lily among the thorns. You need to know that today. But you don't know what I've done. Listen, friend, when he looks at you, he sees a lily among the thorns. That's a beautiful thought. The book of Song of Solomon was worth it for me just to get that one verse. It's beautiful. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet for a picture for a man, some even dare to die. But look at it. But God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Because I'm a lily among thorns. You're special, God is saying. Jesus is saying to you today, you're special. Can you say that so somebody can hear it? You're special. That's what Jesus says to you. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says this to you today. You can trust me. You can trust me. Jesus says this to you today. I want you to belong to me. Why? You're a living among thorns. I love you today. I shouldn't have put on that cross. It wasn't a picnic. I didn't do it for fun. It's because you're a living among thorns. I want you to belong to me. Now, when she had all those ducks in a row, she desired Solomon, didn't she? You get me? When you've got that settled, let me tell you something, friend. It becomes your choice. It's your desire. You've got a desire to want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, my grandmama went to church and all this, so I guess I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You have the desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to, but you need to know that He loves you. You need to know these things, that you can trust Him. You need to know that He'll not leave you. You need to know these things. And it makes it so much easier then to open up your heart to it. Amen? We're done today. It's your choice. It's your desire. Here's what the Bible says, last verse. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can see it. Will you read this with me? For the Scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Let's stand here.